Welcome back to Open Gym here on Texas Sports Unfiltered. Myself, Patrick Davis, alongside Matt Galatson of Texas Longhorns on SI. And of course, you, the third member of Open Gym. Text lines open 512-222-9328. And over there on the chat, Facebook, Twitch, X, and of course, on YouTube. We appreciate you hanging out with us today. Of course, the big news of the day, PK, Dwayne Aquina, both out at Texas, and Will Muschamp back on the 40 acres working as the new DC of Texas. Seeing a lot of stuff online about people starting to respond to this. Saw a good one from Drew Kelson there online that Will Muschamp bringing that defense is going to help out the offense be tougher. That you're about to go from a defense in practice that didn't come at you full force and wasn't trying to really go after you to a defense that is going to be more aggressive. And it should help this Texas defense be more ready when you do play Ohio State early in the season. When you start to play these SEC games, the level of play and practice should raise a little bit more because of just Will Muschamp's natural aggressiveness on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you don't think that this is a home run hire, then I don't think you really understand anything about the way that Georgia has played football the last 5 years.
Yeah.
I think it should be noted that Georgia did take a step back defensively this season a little bit. Will Muschamp took a analyst role because he wanted to spend more time with his family, and that's why that's a major reason why Georgia had an issue defensively this year. His head coaching record and his success as a head coach has nothing to do with anything. He is a elite defensive coordinator. This is an upgrade. This is an absolute home run. I think that this is the best hire that Texas possibly could have made at the position outside of like potentially convincing Dan Lanning to stop coaching the Oregon Ducks and come be your defensive coordinator. It's a fantastic hire, and I don't think that Texas is going to miss PK. That's no disrespect to PK. I think that you're looking for more SEC style defense, yep, and that is exactly what you're about to get.
Yeah, no, I mean that's what you were looking for. Again, you're looking for Texas to show that this wasn't enough. We have to get better, and defensively, the lapses, even though a lot of the season was really good, the lapses when they were there are the problem. The Florida game defensively was not great. I know it wasn't either offensively. I get that. I'm with you. But defensively, the defense was a problem in Florida. Defensively, the third and fourth quarter against Vanderbilt, not good. Not good to let them come in because you just played off of everybody. Against Georgia, defense wasn't there. So in some of those really key games, the defense wasn't where it needed to be. And it feels like, yes, an offensive head coach is going to put more blame on the defense than maybe is completely fair for PK. But instead of complaining about it, and what I always say, Matt, is I don't want you to tell me who you want fired until you tell me who you're hiring. And that's what Texas did today. If Texas fired PK without the Will Muschamp news, our conversation would be extremely different right now. It would be, why on earth would you get rid of a guy who had a top-ranked defense the last couple of years? Why would you go off of it? And why would you not just get rid of Dwayne Aquina? Why would you make this wholesale move to get rid of your DC? That would have been more of the conversation had it been just one piece. Texas, knowing what's right, knowing how to keep their fans under control, puts it with, we also brought in one of the few upgrades that is available out there in the world of college football to go get a Dwayne Aquina, or sorry, go get a Will Muschamp, and everybody feels much better about it.
Yeah, and look, I'm not going to keep I'm not going to keep answering these Sooner Cowboys comments because it's getting a little.
Yeah, he's just trolling. Don't worry. He's going to be just trolling. We're not going to hear from Sooner Cowboys till 2026 after Alabama whoops him.
Yeah, probably. this argument that Kirby Smart is the reason that you're a great listener. this argument that Kirby Smart is the only reason that the Georgia defense has been good the last 5 years. I understand why you might think that, because he is Kirby Smart and he is one of the best defensive minds in college football. Why do you think he hired Will Muschamp?
Yeah. No, I'm with you. It's not hard to figure out. But Matt, I also want to get into this, because we also started to get reports today that Trey Wisner is reportedly going to return to Texas. According to a couple of people online, I know it's not fully reported yet, but we're starting to hear more and more that Trey Wisner is reportedly coming back. And then we've also got reports by Chip Brown and others that Jaden Baugh is leaning towards hitting the portal. But which one happened now? Did he not? Is he going back?
No, just some breaking news. Texas has landed 2027 tight end commit JT Garassi. He is from Ramsey, New Jersey, and he picked Texas over Ohio State, Alabama, Notre Dame, and Vanderbilt.
That's good to have. All right. Appreciate that. Good there. But the report that Jaden Baugh, which is a very sought after name in college football right now, not just by Texas, by a lot of people. Texas people feel like that Texas has an edge with Jabbar Jalouk, the hiring. Maybe Texas has a little bit of a help if Jaden Baugh does get in the portal. But Matt, if we did say a 1-2 punch of Trey Wisner and Jaden Baugh, does that make you feel pretty good going into next season on the running back? Do you feel good about that?
Hey, if Trey Wisner is back and Jaden Baugh enters the portal,
yes,
which it sounds like he's going to do via Chip Brown, who I think is about as well sourced as you can get in this business, Texas would have the best 1-2 punch at running back in the country. I can't think of a better one.
I mean, there will be some other good ones. We won't know until the portal's done that we'll know who has what, but
I don't think that Texas is going to be the only team that is going to try to go after Jaden Baugh.
No, not at all.
I think that the second he hit the portal, potentially, he would be the number one player in the portal. I think Texas would have a leg up in that conversation, considering Jabbar Jalouk is the guy that brought him to Florida and is the guy that developed him into what he is now. So they will probably have a leg up, but I bet Ohio State would be in there. I bet LSU would be in there. I bet just about every other team that you can think of that would possibly, you know, have the money to go get a guy like that would be in on him. He is the biggest game changer, I think, that you could get in the portal by a wide margin. He's the kind of player that can help, that could help you mask the deficiencies of the offensive line that you had this year, because he runs through contact. He's explosive. He can get around the edge. He can shake guys off and then get yards after breaking a tackle. And then you add to the fact that Derek Cooper is going to be in that room.
Yeah.
Michael Terry is probably going to be in that room. Like, that's going to be an elite room if that happens.
I agree.
I think that it's still probably not official that he's going to enter the portal. I think that Chip's reporting is spot on, but I also think that now that that has come out, Florida's going to be like, oh, we're going to give you this much more money. And then it's going to become another conversation, and it's just the bidding war is just going to begin. Unless he has already decided, hey, I'm entering the portal, there's nothing you can give me, I want to go play with Jabbar Jalouk, or I want to go do this, or I want to go do
that. I just want out of here. I'm not like, because we've kind of seen that with Florida, is that Summerall's coming in, and I don't think he's doing the wrong thing, but he is doing somewhat of what Sark did when Sark came in, and he is trying to change the attitude and the culture of Florida. So he is trying to come in and lay down the law and say what he wants. And a lot of these guys who can make a lot of money and have been there and have been happy with what they're doing, those guys are looking at that and saying, I don't necessarily want to, I don't want to be part of your rebuild, man. I don't want to be part of your culture shift or all that. I'm good. I'll go somewhere else and go play. This is not what I came to Florida for. Mm-hmm. And so I think we're seeing that a lot of people. And the question is, can Summerall, while he's still playing in a college football playoff game on Saturday, convince him, or is he waiting? And is that part of it, that Jaden Ball feels disrespected, that this guy's trying to split his time? And he's like, you coming to Florida? Beat Florida, man. I want you to talk about you being in the playoffs. Well, we're not even playing in a bowl game. So there's a lot of things into it. And Eddie, I'll say this. We do run the ball well. Sark has had a 1,000-yard rusher every year. We didn't run it this year because we couldn't. So you got to fix the interior offensive line. You have to fix those pieces first, 100%. But you also need a guy that you feel comfortable handing the ball off to, and that was supposed to be C.J. Baxter this year, and it just wasn't. He wasn't able to go get you those 3-4 yards, and what we saw Jaden Ball do is consistently throughout the year get you those hard-fought yards and then also have some shake, also be able to catch the ball out of the backfield. So I think you can sell him on if you go. Now, I don't think Jaden Ball is necessarily going to end up if he picks out where he's going day one of the transfer portal, Texas may be behind on that. But if Texas is able to get a couple of those linemen first, then maybe you bump it up a little bit easier for it to go, okay, now I want to go there.
I don't know. I think that all of that has already, if Texas has, through some other branch of somebody or an agent or whatever, somehow had communication with Jaden Ball, I don't know. I feel like they probably had that conversation.
Yeah.
Sure. And they're like, we are going to do XYZ. And we're going to improve here. So the second that you sign here, we'll be good to go.
Yeah. And then it comes down to, and we'll probably talk more about this tomorrow or maybe a little bit later in the show because we have Bam Briggs coming up here in a minute. But there's going to be, like, there's a lot of teams that are going to hit the portal very, very hard this year. Mm-hmm. Texas is not alone in waving a bag of cash right now. They are... This is a team that there's going to be several teams waving bags of cash around for offensive linemen because this is not a, like, you think Alabama ain't going to be coming after offensive linemen after they couldn't run the football this year?
They will.
By the way, if you want to know who would hire Kyle Flood for offensive line coach, be Alabama. They go, hey, let's go get him back again. Cause he was there with Saban. So they may go after him. But like you just look at that. And I think, when we look at Jaden Ball and hopefully Trey Wisner, if you were able to look at that, I think they're still going to be able to go out and try and get somebody. I'm with you. I'm really curious to see what Michael Terry does in the Citrus Bowl, because if he's able to be a power back, if he's able to show that progression, then it feels like that's another step forward. That's another piece that Texas could have. To aim themselves in a way where you're like, okay, if we miss on Jaden Ball, if someone else goes out there and the bag is just too big, where we're talking about $5 million, six, and you're like, all right, come on now. Like, you know, we're having to steal from so many other positions to try and get this done where the money keeps going up and up and up. Then I could see them going, okay, we'll get there, but you have to have the wins with Michael Terry. You have to have the wins in some other places or another running back. Jaden Ball just feels like you don't want to end up how OU ended up with Jaden Ott, where he was a guy that was a really good running back and then had an injury, and you were banking on him being able to come back after that injury and a down year playing up a level. So you can go find somebody at a lower level. You can find somebody that maybe is looking for a fresh start, like C.J. Baxter for Texas, looking for a fresh start that is a five-star guy. You can find those. Ball feels like another one of those. Okay, well, we're pretty sure this one's a home run.
Yeah. Jaden Ball is probably what C.J. Baxter was supposed to be had he not been injured.
Yep.
Steve Sarkisian's ideal offense is not necessarily what you saw this year, especially in the second half of the season where they were just airing it out.
Even downfield.
Right. But that's not what he necessarily wants to do. Yes. What he wants to do is go watch Alabama tape when they had Najee Harris. Go watch Texas tape when they had Jonathan Brooks healthy.
Yes.
That is what Texas wants to do. And Jaden Ball would allow them to do that, assuming they fix the interior of the offensive line, which I think that they're probably going to do.
I think well.
There's a lot of good interior offensive linemen who have already announced their intentions to enter the portal. I don't know how many of them they're in on, but I can guarantee you they're making some phone calls.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%. Like, you got to be. And we know some of those. One of those teams is going to be Alabama. So why don't we bring in our man, Bama Bruce, so we see him come back into frame here before I bring him on. There he is. Hey, my man, Bama Bruce joins the show. He is our SEC homer. He is getting ready for a big playoff game tomorrow. Bruce, how you doing, brother?
Look, I've entered the transfer portal. I'm unmuted, and I got my ears on. Let's see what I can screw up today. What can I screw up today? Yes, I'm excited for the game. Is the defense going to – is Oklahoma's defense going to get them? Wait. I had this one thing. Let me – Texas just got must-jumped. Did they not?
They did get must-jumped. Must-champ is a new DC here, man, of Texas, yes.
Okay. I just had – that came out of the left field as me. But, is it going to – I think that Alabama has had enough time to reassess how horrible – they played in the SEC championship, and I think they've had enough time to assess the things that went wrong in the Oklahoma game, even though they did. I mean, they outplayed them by 200 yards, but the takeaway from the defense is the defense going to act the same. I think DeBoer is going to have a different approach. That's logically speaking. I mean, he has to, because last time the defense just took the ball away from crazy.
Yeah, so I completely agree with you, Bruce, and I will use Texas versus Georgia last season in the regular season.
Yes, sir.
As compared to Texas versus Georgia in the SEC championship game. Those two games were played completely differently by Texas. Part of it is they were much more aggressive defensively. They were much more methodical offensively. I think Alabama can take the same approach with Oklahoma. Like, okay, look, if we can get rid of these turnovers, we know how to move the ball against this defense. We can make that work. We just have to get into the end zone on a couple of occasions. We have to not muff a punt, Ryan Williams. For the love of God, do not muff that punt. If you can play the same game that you played against Oklahoma in terms of yardage and those kinds of things, even just one turnover instead of three, you're going to beat him. And I don't think it's that hard for Kalen DeBoer to diagnose what went wrong and implement some changes going into the second matchup.
I feel you. I feel you 110%. Is Oklahoma going to change their scheme? Like, hey, this is what we did, and we didn't really do it. We did it okay, but their defense just was so threatening and took the ball away. They're going to probably have a new scheme, I would think. Now, has Mateer really gotten better? Is his thumb okay? Or okay, well said. And then, is he? They're going to rely on him running his butt off the whole time. Alabama has, I think, their tight end is coming back. Their the tackle is coming back, offensive tackle, and Jam Miller, which I think is totally overrated. I just don't think he's a good back. They got him coming back, but in order for Alabama to win this Oklahoma game, Alabama has to rush for more than 100 yards. They have to, because if they rely on, those bad so-and-sos from Oklahoma rushing and getting Ty out of sync, game over.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a ball control game to a certain extent in two different aspects. One is who can actually move down the field and continue to hold the ball, put the other team's defense a little bit on their heels, put the defense, get them tired, make the defense play more plays. But also, both these quarterbacks have been turnover prone lately. Ty Simpson started off the season great, but you know Brent Venables is going to dial up everything he can to get him to throw some interceptions in this game. And so how do you steer away from that? How do you get John Mateer, who's going to probably hit two good passes and throw seven bad passes? Like, that's what John Mateer has done all season since he's played actual real competition. Is he's had those problems of not making the best decisions at times. So both teams are going to be trying to force those turnovers by the quarterbacks. And then also on the other end, just trying to get a little bit of that running game going to put yourself in positions where a Ty Simpson can pick up a third and three, or John Mateer can scramble for a third and three versus having to make these big heroic plays, which neither offense you have any faith whatsoever to go make those big heroic plays. So it does feel like who can make less mistakes. Matt mentioned the Ryan Williams punt muff. This for Alabama fans, Nick Saban was really good at scaring the living shit out of his players that if they made a mistake, their grandma was going to be taken hostage that night.
And their first kid and their first child.
Can Kalen DeBoer get this team to play at that level?
Matthew, what do you think, man?
I mean, yeah, I think I think he obviously takes a very different approach than a Nick Saban or a Kirby Smart. But I think that this guy is one of the best offensive minds in the country. And I think that given, what has it been, 3 weeks since they played a game now? I think giving 3 weeks of preparation to self-diagnose and two and a half weeks of I know who we're going to play now, of preparation for that football game, I think he's going to do a phenomenal job. That being said, Brent Venables is also a brilliant defensive mind. So this is going to be a chess match.
Yeah,
I agree, man. And like, what happened to the down the field threat that Alabama used to have? What in the hell? It's like they got some of the best receivers out there. We're like, oh, good receiving core, and he's throwing the hell out of the ball. I don't know what happened to that down the field threat. Can any of you guys tell me? It's a football thing.
I can tell you, they can't run the football. And if you can't run the football, you drop everybody back. And so the problem is once you can drop everybody back in coverage because you're four or five linemen in one linebacker, you can play four or five guys on that and put everybody else back. It makes it way, way harder to make those deep passes. Safeties don't have to creep up, everything else. If you're able to run the football, it opens up Ryan Williams downfield. So, again, when you said you want to see Jam Miller or you want to see just the running backs in general for Alabama be able to get going, that, to me, is the biggest piece. That's just really hard against this Oklahoma defense because they've been great at stopping the run all year. If we could send you Trey Wisner Trey Wisner knows how to tear up this Oklahoma defense, so you can watch those.
Something.
But you want to find something to get that going, because if you do push him forward, then Oklahoma's going to have a hard time because no one can really keep up with Ryan Williams. The problem has been this year, he's got guys on him all the time because they can't run the football.
I think he is after the thing about this kid, obviously he's a kid and he's dropped the ball a bunch, but I think his positive uptown is when he catches the ball, making a miss without whatever Houdini shit he does, which you've seen, firsthand. I just want that so there you go. So with no running game, that's out. They took the down the field throw, that's out. That constricts you. Yeah. Obviously, that's why they've sucked the last bit.
Yeah, no, it's been rough. You're playing 11-on-11. And the reality is the defense has an edge up because they don't have a quarterback. So you have your quarterback that's not really going to be trying to run as much or whatever else. So you're saying 10-on-11, they have to defend 10 guys and the 11th is there. If they can blitz more, if they can just do whatever they want because they're not worried about your run game, that's where those things happen. So they do have to do it. The flip on that is, Oklahoma can't run the football either. Like, both these teams
are
very similar, that they're turnover-prone quarterbacks at the end of the season. They're both can't run the football. Oklahoma probably has an edge defensively, but I do think Kalen DeBoer has a chance to put out some, you know, some schemes and things. And if it really, if Alabama doesn't turn the ball over, they've got a really, really good chance to win this game.
Matthew.
Yeah, I mean, Oklahoma has an edge over Alabama in terms of defense. I don't think that that's a secret.
All day long.
It's a really, really good defense. It's a very physical defense. The pass rush is elite. I don't know if they're getting R. Mason Thomas back or not. Even if they don't, they're going to have a good time defensively. That's just what they do. And Brent Venables coaches them up really well. Alabama, I think, has the most important advantage in this game, though. Quarterback. I think Ty Simpson is miles ahead of what John Mateer is as a quarterback.
If he's not pressured.
If he gets time to throw, he is going to pick you apart. I think that when it comes down to a game like that, I'm going to pick the better quarterback. And I will always pick Ty Simpson over John Mateer, because even when John Mateer puts up big stats, it's because a screen pass went 90 yards.
That's
or there's
fair.
A broken coverage. He has no patience. He is bad in with decision making.
One, two, run, run.
He's the wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man from Family Guy. Like one play, he'll make an amazing throw that like not a lot of people in college football can make. And then the next 10 plays, you're like, what the hell is this guy doing? And that is not a sustainable method that is going to get you wins in the college football playoff, in my opinion. No.
Not against
it's going to work against 7-5 LSU or some of these other teams that they beat that
not great
complete
Michigan.
Teams, yeah, Michigan or Tennessee, like these teams that aren't good, like great teams. But when you get into the college football playoff and you play playoff caliber teams, it's going to eat you alive.
It is.
You have given me a little promise, man. And so I'm going to stop drinking a little bit now, because you've given me hope. You've given me hope, and I'm going to run with that angle. On another note, Alabama, they just the Auburn receiving coach jumped ship and came to Alabama. And so there's that. But the tricky thing about that is Coleman going to hit the transfer portal and maybe come with him? Or that other badass dude from Auburn? That's intriguing to me.
Yeah. I mean, we could see those moves for sure. The portal is going to be nuts, as we know.
Blazing.
It's going to be blazing. I'm going to wait for your Alabama-Oklahoma prediction till the end, but I want to talk about the other games happening this weekend, too. Let's talk about Miami and Texas A&M. This is probably the second best game. It's either the best game or the second best. There's two real games in the college football playoff first round, and there's two games that I'll be shocked if they're within single digits. But Miami versus Texas A&M right now, A&M's a 3.5-point favorite. It's at Kyle Field. These are also true home games. They're not neutral field neutral site games for the first round. So you're at Kyle Field, but it's 11 a.m. We know that the Aggies haven't necessarily gotten up for all their 11 a.m. games. It feels like you got to get up for this. This one, though, is a game of pass rush, of people coming after the quarterback. And is Carson Beck or Marcel Reed going to, you know, maybe, flail a little bit before they get to the end of it?
First of all, they're playing at Kyle Field. And from what I've heard, the one thing I heard is Alabama, LJ, the linebacker, said it was probably one of the hardest environments he's ever played in. And that place is going to be so raucous. They've never had a playoff there, or period, right? I mean, so they're going to be – I think the biggest thing is Miami getting used to all those rednecks and hillbillies out there, you know, getting after it. And they said that whole stadium pulsates. It just does. And then they got Moss. I think his name is Moss. Their number one.
Oh, Le'Veon Moss. Sorry.
Yes, thank you. I think they got him back, and so their receiving core is going to be on point. And with getting Le'Veon Moss back, it's going to take a lot of slack off their quarterback, so he can breathe a little more and do his thing. And I'm seeing a dismantling of Miami. I'm sorry. I know they've not really they're there, and they do play in the ACC or whatever, but I'm thinking, Texas A&M is strong, and so is Texas Tech. Those are going to be my Cinderella stories, or so to speak, out of everything. I think, like I said, Georgia and Indiana, but I think that A&M is going to blast them.
I'm going to give you an argument for each team in a way that I think they have an advantage. For Miami, actually, it's really just we'll start with Texas A&M. But Malachi Toney from Miami leads the nation in receptions and yards on screen passes. He has 323 yards on screen passes this year, and he has 623 yards after the catch. Texas A&M is the number one team in the country, allowing 2.4 yards per screen attempt. And that is Miami's biggest strength with their best offensive player. So that's going to be an issue for Miami. On the other side of it, Texas A&M, Miami runs inside zone or gap concept, good Lord, on 78% of their rushing attempts. Texas A&M allows 5.5 yards per carry, which is the sixth worst amongst Power Four teams, 3.9 yards after contact per carry, which is the fourth worst nationally, and 5.4 yards per carry allowed on inside runs and gap concepts. So both of these teams have a big advantage in one area that the other could exploit. I think that given the fact that Texas A&M apparently pumps artificial crowd noise into their stadium per Nick Saban, I give Texas A&M the advantage. I think that this game is going to be won on the line of scrimmage, though. I think this Miami defensive line against the A&M defensive line and vice versa is going to be absolutely critical, because if you can get pressure on Carson Beck and get him off of his spot, he's going to have big issues and he's going to make mistakes. Marcel Reed, on the other hand, if you put pressure on him, he can get outside the pocket and he can beat you with his legs. You have to be able to contain him. So I think this is going to be a very defensive battle, low scoring, like 17-14 or 20-17, something like that.
That you have your data intelligence was just amazing in that little cut you did.
I can't take credit for it. One of my guys on Texas A&M Aggies on SI wrote that story, and
that's badass, man. So Jesus,
Shout out to Diego.
There you go. I do think, Nick Saban did no favors to Miami going on Pat McAfee today and saying they pipe noise into Kyle Field, because it just means they're going to be more insane at 11 a.m. They're starting to drink now.
They're like camping out. They're like eating roast beef sandwiches and hottie toddies, and they're camping out right now for at Kyle Field. Trust me.
Yeah. So that one's going to be, that one is one, I don't know why it's the 11 a.m. game, unless they just really wanted to get ratings early because they thought they'd get better ratings with the other ones later. We do see Tulane and Ole Miss. Ole Miss is a 17.5-point favorite in this game. It's a weird coach game. Lane Kiffin, no longer the head coach of Ole Miss. John Summerall, no longer the head coach of Tulane. However, he will be coaching this game, but he's half in and half out. He's half at Florida. So it's just kind of a weird all-around coaching world for this game, for both teams to come into it. This is another matchup of two teams that played earlier this season, but it just, like, I don't see, unless Ole Miss completely crumbles, where they're just in their own head and don't show up because it's Tulane and they don't care. I think Tulane's a good team. I think they can keep it in the number. I think they can keep it in with 17.5, but I don't necessarily think they can keep it within single digits. So, like, I don't know where the line is where they could win that game.
I mean, all gas, no brakes, as Sark said. I just think that Chambliss and all those cats over there, dude, they're going to – those dudes are angry in a good way. They're angry. They want to shock the world. They want to go in and blow these dudes out by 40. They want to show Lane Clifton that he is not the guy. He's not. We got Golding, he's stepping in that job. That's his first one. I get it. He's a great defensive mind, came from Alabama. And I think they got it. And I honestly think they're gonna take it by 24 points. And they're just not. I mean, look what they did in the first. And I know that's what the first time they met. I know that's what we talk about. Well, maybe they made adjustments. Man, their coach is 1 foot in, 1 foot out. That coach is gone. But the talent on that Ole Miss team is stupid.
Yeah. Matt, do you want to defend your Rebels winning by 30?
Talk to me, man. Talk to me.
Ole Miss by 30.
Yes.
I think that Pete Golding is really buckling down on, a mentality of, being together and proving people wrong and
all day long,
not relying on the Lane Kiffin and all that stuff. I think he's going to hammer home a lot. I think he brings a different sort of mentality to the program in terms of aggressiveness and intensity. And like, I think that they're just going to be playing with each other. And I think that John Sumrall, on the other hand, is probably distracted by his Florida responsibilities. And I think that that's going to play into Ole Miss's hands a lot. And I think that they're going to win by 30.
Handily. I said, you got six on me. I said 24. So I think they're going to cover. Come on.
Then we get James Madison versus Oregon. Oregon's a 21-point favorite in this game. This one, to me, is even more ridiculous than Tulane versus Ole Miss. So Tulane, Ole Miss, I get it. Tulane would be the one group of five guy that got in. They've had a decent program the last couple of years. James Madison talent level, quarterback, like there isn't the guy on James Madison that I really feel. Like they can run the football, they can play some defense. I get that. I don't know if they have enough guys that are going to be big enough, strong enough to control the lines and do what they need to do against Oregon, right, who has a really good team. And this also feels like a Dan Lanning special of we're upset that Texas Tech was ranked above us and got a bye. So we're going to go show the committee by putting up 60.
Air raid all day long. And just like you said earlier, both the trenches are like, I don't know the facts, like Mr. Intelligent Data Guy here. I just would think that Oregon would probably outweigh him by 30 points or 30 pounds on both sides of the line, and the talent, like you said, and this is why everybody's going to get a participation trophy, and that's what those two teams are. Now, if we're totally wrong and something happens, that's the beauty of college football. That's why we play the game. So, but if it's smashing, as the point spreads say, as we have talked about, then why would you have that? Why would Notre Dame Oregon and Notre Dame, Oregon and Vanderbilt, Ole Miss and Vanderbilt, Ole Miss and Notre Dame, shut the front door? It's like that's the type, and it is going to 16, and I get it, but these trophies that we're going to be seeing here, if it does go the way we say, they need to do away with that. Y'all need to have y'all, if there's the FBS and the Sun Belt and all them doing all that. You'll have your own little national championship,
I think everybody in the country outside of Harrisonburg, Virginia, wants Oregon to win this game by 50.
Yeah. Oh, I think 50 is low.
And I think that's what's
going to tell you. I agree with you, man.
Although, I will say James Madison has a really good quarterback, and I think he's better than John Mateer.
Oh, there you go. Really?
I agree with that, man. But I think he's going to be just pressured like Georgia did by Simpson, to be honest with you.
We'll see. All right, Bruce, circling back now. Your prediction, OU currently favored 1.5 points. They are at home against Alabama. Matt has given you reason to believe. What do you feel? What's your final prediction for Alabama-Oklahoma?
because of this madman analyst over here, I think there's a chance. I think there's a chance. If they hold on to the ball, as we all know, I think there's a chance, and I'm going to have to go roll effing Tide all day long. And let me tell you this, if they can beat Oklahoma, they're going to beat Indiana. And I'm saying it right now.
All right. I like the confidence. I like the confidence, Bruce. We appreciate you joining us. That is your SEC homer, Bama Bruce. Vallejo, Anton, January 9th. Go check him out. Get your tickets now. Bruce will be playing some guitar at that gig, having a good old time. But, Bruce, we appreciate you. Hopefully I'll see you tomorrow for some Alabama whooping some Oklahoma butt.
Be cool, Matthew. Be cool, Pat. Roll Tide. Thank y'all.
There we go. Thanks to Bruce there for hanging out, Bruce Castleberry. It is 5:48 p.m. and OU still sucks, Matt. So we can't say that, leaving Bama Bruce as we go. Let's take our second break real quick, Matt. And when we come back, we'll wrap up the show. We'll see if we get any more crazy breaking news here in the next 12 minutes as we wrap up a show that was a bit off schedule for what we were going to talk about, but it gives us more to get into tomorrow here on Open Gym on Texas Sports Unfiltered.
Hi, I'm Dan Covert with my wife, Hayden. Welcome to Covert BK.
Our newest location in the gorgeous Hill Country includes Buick, GMC, Cadillac, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, and hundreds of pre-owned and certified vehicles for you to choose from. We have 3 service departments that are ready to take care of your car, truck, or SUV with 86 service bays to accommodate any repair and get you in and out quickly. Come visit us today to select the vehicle you've been dreaming about.
Covert, born and raised in Austin.
Hi, this is Tom McKay, owner of Audiovisual Consultations, and we'd like to take a moment to thank all of our clients for making the last 37 years both fun and fruitful. If you haven't yet, I'd like to invite you to give us a try for all your home electronics needs. There's no need to leave your home to find great pricing and incomparable service. No traffic, inexperienced sales geeks, or pushy showroom tactics. We come to you. So just relax, hug your kids, and smile. We handle all the work. Just give us a call at 255-8678 or online at avconsultations.com.
Hello to Jason and the gang over at Relax the Back. They embrace a holistic approach for a healthier lifestyle based on 35 years, folks, of proven expertise, and my back couldn't be happier. Their motto is live wellness, and folks, they can transform your routine, your daily routine, into something very, very special if you have back pain. If you're struggling with thoracic problems, if you've got hip problems, if you've got lumbar problems, please go over to one of their stores. They got 2 great locations, and find out a chair or a recliner or a sofa that's going to fit you and going to make your life a whole lot better. I've got this office chair right here that I've been sitting in for years, and I love it. 2 locations, folks, at the Hill Country Gallery across from Whole Foods and in North Austin at the Gateway Shopping Center across from the Container Store. Live pain-free like the buck and relax the back.
SendTextTickets.com. If you're in the market for tickets to any sporting event, any concert, any Broadway show, anything live coming to town, you got to head over to SendTextTickets.com. The best seats to all of the biggest events, not just here in Austin, but all over the state and all over the country as well. It's so easy to use. Just log on your phone or computer to sendtexttickets.com. All of their tickets are 100% guaranteed, and they will be delivered right to your phone or computer. So simple to use, and you're also helping to support a local business every time you shop sendtexttickets.com. So if you want to be at the biggest events in sports and entertainment, there's only one place to go. It's sendtexttickets.com.
Welcome back to Open Gym here on Texas Sports Unfiltered as we get to the end of the show on a Thursday afternoon. Appreciate everybody hanging out with us with the wild news of Will Muschamp being the new defensive coordinator here at the University of Texas. We did get other somewhat breaking news, Matt, but in a sense for it's more for the NFL, Deron Bland apparently going to need foot surgery.
Well, that stinks.
So once again, having to go back under the knife, apparently. He is apparently right now looking for a second opinion because that is disappointing to hear for Deron Bland, as you hope they can figure out something. We keep hearing that Matt Eberflus is most likely gone. Eberflus said he's going up to the box now. He'll be up from the coaching box for these last 3 games, trying to do anything different But it feels like his job is already pretty much done.
Yeah, I mean, I make a change, sure. I don't think that's going to help you very much.
Nope.
Because you don't have the players.
No, and you maybe don't have the GM. Maybe there's not a culture there yet. I know Shoddy's trying to bring it, but difficult. Matt, tonight, will you be watching Thursday Night Football? Your boy, Matt Stafford, and the Rams, 11-3, trying to take a hold of this division against the Seattle Seahawks, 11-3. Who knew Sam Darnold was going to be the kiss of luck? Left Minnesota. Now he comes into Seattle. They're both at 11-3. San Francisco nipping at their heels at 10-4. Huge game for the Rams on a Thursday afternoon. We assume Davante Adams isn't going to be there. What do you think? Are you watching the game tonight? Are you excited for Matt Stafford at a big Thursday Night Football game? It's going to be wonky.
Yeah, I'm probably going to watch a little bit of it. I have a Christmas lights plan tonight that will probably take up some of the evening. But outside of that, I'm going to be tuning in for this one. I'm going to be watching in Prime Vision, and I'm excited to see Matthew Stafford light up that Seattle Seahawks defense.
You got to watch in Prime Vision. It's very important to always watch in Prime Vision. Definitely, yeah, it's a big one. What do you think? Let's see what the spread is on this one, Matt. My computer loads. It is Seattle, 1.5-point favorites as they are at home. I'm guessing you're taking the Rams all day?
Taking the Rams in every game for the rest of the season, Patrick.
Oh, man. I mean, that race right there in that division is nuts right now. All those teams.
Division in football.
Them and the AFC South, man. Who would have thought those two divisions would be killing it right now? I don't think anybody thought the AFC South was going to have 3 10-win teams. I don't think that was on anybody's bingo card.
I might change my pick. I'm not sure.
Oh, who's missing? Who's out?
Davante Adams is officially inactive, so I'm not sure.
Well, we knew Davante. Yeah, after last week, I figured he was out.
I was kind of holding out hope.
But we do get our meathead of the day who plays into this game, Matt, which he did an interview yesterday, and it just didn't go well.
Wide receiver of all time.
I'm Julio Jones, I think.
For real?
Yeah, I love.
Oh, shit.
I go AB.
AB, unstoppable.
That's the thing. Those two are like.
So the clip there, this is just a small clip to say that Puka Nacua wins the meathead for the entire interview. In which the most egregious to me, clearly, was that he says that Julio Jones is the greatest receiver of all time. And it's Jerry Rice. There's one right answer. It's Jerry Rice. That's just one right answer. When you take top of his game level of play and then longevity, and you add those two factors in, there's no one close.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think that Julio Jones, though, is probably the most dominant wide receiver that I have ever seen play football.
He was at
his best.
Yes, Julio Jones at his best was very, very good. I'll give him that. But he also, during that interview, basically said all women are evil and gold diggers because he is currently in a fight with his baby mama. He also had to apologize for anti-Semitic remarks because they asked him to do a touchdown dance that was a anti-Semitic meme that is going around, which he did not know. I get he did not know that. I would not have guessed that was a thing that was a pre-existing. I would have been like, oh, it seems a little weird, but I get it. So that one he had to apologize for. Then we also throw in that he said that the Jags are the most overrated team, which maybe they are. You can't really go after other playoff teams right before you go in the playoffs. You probably don't want to go after that as well. He just kept kind of saying dumb stuff. And then he also said, I can't even live in LA because they're like, he only makes $1 million his rookie season, which I get. You got to pay agent fees and taxes and everything else. So he's probably only making like $400,000 this year. So he clearly can't afford to live in LA making $400,000. It's too little, man. He can't get in a, he's like, I have to live in an apartment. And you're like, well, first of all, you could own a house if you wanted to, because someone would give you a great rate on it because you play in the NFL. And then they just repossess it if you didn't get it back. We have to stop pretending, as a guy who walks with a briefcase made of gold that's got a window in it with his cleats in it to every game, you cannot complain about money. Guy drives nice cars. Also, his brother just got arrested for stealing a car, which we don't know if he knew the guy and then took it unused, like that he wasn't allowed to use it or whatever, but his brother just got arrested for that. It's all over the world not going well this week for Puka Nacua, but he's got to be the dude tonight because there is no Davante Adams.
Well, I can't necessarily – this is going to be a really bad thing to say on the air, Patrick. I'm not sure if I could say it, but I'm going to anyway. Sorry, BK. I'm not sure that I'm surprised that Puka Nacua has a baby mama because of the rules that they implement at BYU. And since he got away from those rules, he probably just decided, hey, this is amazing. I'm going to run roughshod over LA. And now he's got a baby mama, and now they're in a fight. And that's a good shout also, Chris, and Texas Rocks. Megatron was an absolute animal.
Yeah, he was amazing. Again, Jerry Rice wins it because at his prime, he was the best wide receiver in the league by a pretty good margin. And then he played for freaking ever.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you look at Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes, when you go on the GOAT and you go, yeah, Patrick Mahomes plays another 12 years of like good, successful football. He can get in that conversation. But the fact that Tom Brady was still playing in the playoffs in his 40s, that's how you start to really be like, oh yeah, no one else could do it for as long. Like be that good for that long is just another level of how you become not just freakishly talented and smart and everything else, but also work your ass off so hard to get where you can be.
Yeah, I agree. I love Jerry Rice. I was a Cowboys fan and I liked Jerry Rice.
How do you not like
That's
Jerry
how
Rice?
How much respect I had for Jerry Rice. What did he play for, 25 years?
He played
for he was unbelievable.
Yeah, when he had that, his hairline was starting like here, mm-hmm. starting where my headphones are.
Like when he was with the Raiders.
Oh, yeah. Back in Raiders, Jerry Rice. All right, Matt. We got more. We got a lot to get into tomorrow because we didn't get into almost any of our topics for today because of, you know, Texas just going out there and making a huge move, trying to hit home runs out there, signing Will Muschamp to be the new defensive coordinator. But that means tomorrow we'll pick it up again. And hopefully I won't have to hop on for Chip for other news. So we'll go 2 hours, have an open bar, open gym Friday. We've only got 3 shows left till Christmas, Matt, because we're only doing Monday, Tuesday next week. So a lot to get into, to enjoy here as we appreciate everybody hanging out with us during the holidays, sticking with us here at Texas Sports Unfiltered and Open Gym. So be kind, be safe, keep your underwear clean. We'll see you right back here tomorrow for more from Open Gym.